Today's daf is Megillah Daf Ches. We are right in the middle of all of the Ein Bein Mishnayos. We started with a Mishnah with the Mishnah of Ein Bein Adar Rishon Ladar Sheni, except for Kriyas HaMegillah Matanas Lavyonim. So now all of the other Mishnayos are going to continue along the themes of Ein Bein, that there's no difference between this thing and the other thing, except for, and it's going to give exceptions and compare all sorts of different things, nothing to do with Purim, nothing to do with Megillah, just things that are compared to each other, that are similar to each other, but yet somewhat different. So first we're going to discuss the comparison between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Then we're going to discuss the difference between the neder and we're going to discuss between two different types of neder hana'ah that someone takes from someone else. Then we're going to discuss the difference between a neder and a nedava. We're going to discuss the difference between a zav who saw something come out of his body two times versus having three times, what the difference is going to be. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about the difference between two types of mitzoraim, two types of people that have tzaras, a mitzora muskar and a mitzora muchlat. And then at the very end, we're probably not going to even read it today, but the last Mishnah is going to talk about the difference between svarim versus tefillin and mezuzos in terms of the halachos of ksiva. So we left off in the bottom of Zayin and Beis at the last Mishnah on Zayin and Beis. Ein bein Shabbos yom kippurim el shezez dono bidei adam v'zez dono b'karis. The difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that if a person violates Shabbos b'mezid, then he's going to be chayiv skila, he's chayiv misa bidei adam. Person violates Yom Kippur b'mezid, he's chayiv kareis. So that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur in terms of violation b'mezid. So says Gemara Halinin Tashlumin Zevzeh Shavin. That implies that if one incurs a monetary chiyuv while violating Shabbos or while violating Yom Kippur, it would have the same halacha. Now there is a principle in halacha that takes up the entirety of the third parak of Maseches Ksuvos called Kam Le B'drabim Minei, that if a person at the same time does an avera that causes him to be chayiv a more severe punishment than a less severe punishment, let's say misa and mamon, we only punish him with the misa and he gets pater from the money. So that's certainly true of a person's chayiv misa in Beis Din and money at the same time. So let's say I burn my friend's house down on Shabbos. So at the same time that I'm burning something, I'm also at the same time I'm violating Shabbos by lighting a fire, I'm also incurring a monetary obligation by burning someone else's property. So certainly one is only going to be chayiv skila in that case, not going to be chayiv mamon. But what about on Yom Kippur, where the chiyuv is kares? Kares isn't taken care of in Beis and Shalmata. Kares is only taken care of in Beis and Shalmaila. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of kares. Would we say that that's also enough to exempt somebody from a monetary payment? So our Mishnah seems to be saying yes. Our Mishnah seems to be saying Shabbos and Yom Tov are no different when it comes to monetary payments. Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you violate Shabbos, you violate Yom Kippur. Rather, Shabbos and Yom Kippur, no different. You violate Shabbos, you violate Yom Kippur, you're not going to be chayiv any mamon, even though Yom Kippur is only kares, it's not misa bidei adam. So says the Gemara, mani mas nisra bin chuni ben akanihi. That would align our Mishnah with the sheet of Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana. Detanya, Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana yosas Yom Kippur, mkish Shabbos l'tashlumin. Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana is the one that treats Yom Kippur like Shabbos when it comes to payment. Ma Shabbos mischayiv benafsho patam enat tashlumin, af Yom Kippur mischayiv benafsho patam enat tashlumin. Just like on Shabbos, when you're chayiv misa, you're automatically putter from any mamon at the time. So too, when it comes to Yom Kippur, if you're chayiv kares, you're putter from any sort of tashlumin at the same time. Now the hafla in Ksubas Daf Lamed raises the question: Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos Psachim Daf Chavtes. If chayavi krisos shogigin are patur min atashlumin, meaning if you did a chayiv kares b'mezid, so you actually chayiv kares, so that Rabbi Nachman ben Akana says you patur from tashlumin. What about chayavi krisos shogigin? You did something that you would be chayiv kares, but you only did it b'shogig. Would that exempt you from tashlumin? So according to Tosfos, it would not. You'd be chayiv the mamam in that case. So l'chora, says the hafla, that anyway should be a chiluk between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, because if you do a malacha b'shogig on Shabbos, you are patur from tashlumin. The chiyuv karban is going to pater you from tashlumin, but you do a malacha b'shogeg on Yom Kippur. Even if you hold like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, that if you do a malacha b'mezid on Yom Kippur, that you're going to be pater from tashlumin. But if you do b'shogeg on Yom Kippur, you're going to be chayv tashlumin. So why isn't that considered to be a proper nafkamina between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, even if you hold like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, and still missing from our Mishnah? So the hafla suggests that Rabbi Nachman doesn't hold of the Tanit Bechizkia. He holds that even even on Shabbos, that if you do a malacha b'shogeg, you're chayiv b'tashlumin. That the premise that we assumed, that if you do a malacha b'shogeg on Shabbos, that you're patur from tashlumin, is not true. He thinks you are chayiv b'tashlumin in that case. Okay, so says the Gemara for the Tanan Asam, we learned in the Mishnah, kol chayiv krisus shalaku niftru midei krisas. The different idea, that if someone is chayiv kares, and instead of getting kares, they get malchus, they receive malchus, then they are exempt from the kares. They're not going to have to suffer the fate of kares. Shenemar v'nikla achicha l'anecha kivun shalaka areyuka achicha div Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel learns from the pasuk that once a person gets malchus, he now returns to being achicha, he now returns to being your brother again. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel's colleagues disagreed with him. He says, well, we learned in our Mishnah that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is whether you're chayiv misa bidei Adam or kares for doing it b'mezid. V'im isa idi v'idi bidei Adam hi. But if when you violate Yom Kippur b'mezid, you can get malchus instead of kares, well then Yom Kippur is also bidei Adam, because Yom Kippur you can get malchus in place of kares. So Gemara has two answers. Answer number one: Amar Rav Nachman Hamani Rabbi Yitzchak Hidamar Malchus Be'chavi Krisus Leka. It could be our Mishnah is assuming that there is no malchus for people who are chayav kares. D'tanya Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Chayav Krisus Bechlal Hayu. That chayav Krisus in general are if one violates any of the arayos, you're automatically chayav kares. V'lama Yatzis Kares Bachel. So why does the Torah specify again that one is chayav kares for sleeping with his sister? It's one of the arayos. It's already included. Ladona Bekares V'lo B'malchus. To tell us that when one does chayav Krisus, they only get kares, they do not get malchus. Malchus does not work in place of kares. So that might be what our Mishnah is assuming. Or, second possibility, Rav Ashi, Amar Afilu Teim Rabbanan, our Mishnah might even be assuming like the Rabbanan. Ze ikers dono bidei Adam, ze ikers dono bidei kares. The Mishnah is trying to contrast Shabbos with Yom Kippur in terms of the prescribed punishment. The prescribed punishment for Shabbos b'mezid, for Chil Shabbos b'mezid, is skila. The prescribed punishment for Chil Yom Kippur b'mezid is kares. It happens to be that if you get malchus, you're going to be patur from the kares. But that's not what the prescribed punishment is. So it's still called that its punishment is bidei shamayim, its punishment is not bidei adam, because the real punishment is bidei shamayim, it's not bidei adam. That idea that chayavi krisos shalaku are patur from their krisos is really what spurned the entire smicha controversy that took place over 500 years ago already, when the times of the Maribei Rav and the Maral Bach, where they had a debate whether to reinstitute the concept of smicha. So based on the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos that if you can get all the rabbis together and agree that they want to confer smicha on someone, then you don't need to go ish mi piyish from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says it has to be that there's some way to do it, because we don't, the chain has been broken, and in order to build the base of Mikdash, you're going to need smicha. Some people are going to have smicha. You need a Sanhedrin, so they need to have smicha. So there's got to be a way to reinstitute it before Tchias HaMesim. So the Rambam says, if you get all the rabbis in the world to agree, then to give someone smicha, then that would be good enough. So they actually did reinstitute 500 years ago, died out again. But Beis Yosef had, the Alshich had, many great gedolim had the smicha. And what was the motivation? Right after the Inquisition, a lot of people who fled Spain felt that things that they did while they were there in order to not be killed as Jews, there are things that they were chayiv kares for. And they cheshbined that if they could just get malchus, then they'd be pater from their kares. So they wanted a beis din of smuchim in order to receive malchus so that they'll be pater from their kares. It's based on this halacha that the whole thing happened. I don't know if any of them ever got malchus. I don't know, that part of the story I don't know. But that was their motivation initially. Okay, so now new Mishnah. Top of the difference between taking a neder that you're not going to get hana'a from somebody versus taking a neder that you're not going to get ma'achal from somebody, any hana'a sachila from somebody, is walking through the guy's field. That's not called hana'a sachila, but it is hana'a. Or using the guy's lawnmower, kalim that don't help in food preparation. So that's not achila, but it is hana'a. Those are the differences between the neder. But to borrow his oven, to borrow his cutlery, that would be a violation of both types of nedarim. That's called a nedar of ma'achal as well. And not only that, even to borrow kelim, Rashi writes, dafka b'makom shein maskir kiyotziben, b'makom shein maskir kiyotziben, t'nan behed yada asir. If it's a type of kli that normally costs money to rent, that's also called hana'as ma'achal, because money is used to purchase food. So anything that would be a financial benefit would also be under the category of hana'as ma'achal. That's what Rashi says. And Tosos adds, aval kelim shosim enochal nefesh asra afilu b'pachos mishav pruta, kibin davi ochal nefesh. Kelim that you use for ochal nefesh purposes, even if it's less than a shava pruta's worth, it's aser midin hana'as ma'achal, because it's still considered to be ochal nefesh. It's still considered to be ma'achal. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi in Siman Reish Vav explains that the not in Simon Reshvav, in Page Reshvav, in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simon Chav Tes, explains that Tosfos over here, when he says that you're not allowed to borrow a kli that you would rent out for pruta, the Turei Evan raises the question, how does he know that Ana Pox Mishav Pruta is mutter by mudra Ana? Meaning what Tosfos is saying is, if you have a neder of ma'achal and you have kli that you do ochel nefesh with, then it's even Asur Pox Mishav Pruta. But if you have a neder hana, and you use a kli that's worth less than a shava pruta, then that's not called hana'a. Who says that's not called hana'a? Why is less than a shava pruta not called hana'a? So Turi Evan wonders about this. So Rav Shechter explains that Tosfos in the Darim Daf Lamed Dalet really seems to say the opposite. That by Konamos, we assume Kolduhu is an Isra Hana'a, even less than a Shava Pruta when it comes to the world of Nadarim. So he says, maybe you could explain based on the following Yesod. There are three different types of Neder Hana'a Mechaveru, three ways to violate the Isra of Hana'a when you take a Neder Hana'a from somebody else. Number one, if you get Hana'as Haguf. That would be, you're not allowed to be rochitz yimo ba'ambati, yashin yimo b'mita, because you're benefiting from his body heat or whatever. Second is hana'as mamon. He's giving you his money. That's Mishnah Nedarim, in Dav Mem Gimel. The third is al yedezed dishlichusei ka'avid, that you're doing something that he wants you to do. You're doing his shlichus, like Kohanim doing things for us, or Torah Mishalal Shel Chavero. Those are the three types of hana'a that would be a violation of a neder hana'a. Now that third type of neder hana'a, that's in all types of schirus. We say that the Torah is matil the chiyuv on the person to pay for the schirus, meaning the Torah tells us the three types of schirus are like you're being nene mechavero, and that's what the person who's nene is chayev to pay for whatever hana'a he got, meaning hana'a is a mechayev to pay for schirus. So once we understand it in that context, that the mechayev of paying for schirus is hana'a, so then you understand that just like by schirus poalim, that the Torah is mechayev us to pay our workers, it's not going to be chal m'pachas mishav pruta. The chiyuv to pay is going to be only when it's a shav pruta. So by schirus karka metaltalin, where the value of the ishtamshus is less than shav pruta, it's not a mechayev, because the mechayev is hana'a. And he says that's why, if you look carefully at Tosfos, that what Tosfos is saying is that the value of the ishtamshus being less than shav pruta is not called schirus, memela, it's not considered to be hana'a. Similar to what we say that mitzvah ka'avid is mutar on mudra na mechavero, because you're not allowed to get paid for asiyas mitzvahs. And as long as there's no hishtamshus, as long as that hishtamshus, the Torah would not require you to pay for it, so there's no schirus, and therefore it's not considered that one is nehene mechavero, that one is getting any hana'a. That's how Rav Shechter explains this Tosfos in Eretz HaTzvi. But says the Gemara now, Halinyan kelim sha'osin ben ochel nefesh zev zashavin. The implication is that for kelim that you actually use for food purposes, then it would be the same if you took a neder ano or a neder meichel. Drisas haregel, so we said that if you took a neder ano, you're not allowed to walk through the guy's field. But halo kapti inshi, why not? People don't mind when you walk through their fields. So amarava hamani reblaza damar vitor aser b'mudra ano, that when you take a neder ano, even if it's a guy, if it's something the guy doesn't mind, and the guy is normally mochel, still you're not allowed to do it by mudra ano. Tosfos questions the premise. Really? People don't mind when you walk through their houses, you walk through their fields. The Gemara in Cheskas Habatim and Zayin and Bezim Babasra says, Eil dvar m'shein lem chazaka, and Eil dvarim sheyesh lehem chazaka, and it talks about mamid behema b'chatzer is ein lehem chazaka, and the Gemara is talking about a case of shutfin where if you just put your animal there, people are not going to be makbid. And the Gemara says, but wait, hashutfin shnodar anazem, is that asurin li kaneis b'chatzer? And they're not allowed to enter the chatzer. But the bottom line is that Gemara seems to assume that people generally are makbid on drisas haregel, that they don't want you walking through their property. So Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that it depends what the property is. If it's your yard, your private backyard, and you have, you like to hang out in your backyard and whatever it is, and do things in your backyard. So that you don't want people walking through while you're. But you have a valley, a field somewhere in a valley, miles away from where you live, and there's nothing is going to be ruined by anyone walking through. So that you don't care so much. So if people walk through that, people are not makbid about. Next Mishnah: Ein bein nedarim u'nedavos elo shanedarim chayiv ba'achrisan u'nedavos ein chayiv ba'achrisan. The difference between nedarim and nedavos is that if a person takes a neder, and then let's say he takes a neder that he's going to give this animal for a carbon, and then the animal gets lost, so he needs to take a different animal for a carbon. But by a nedava, he says, I accept upon myself to bring a carbon, and then if he says he's going to take this animal for a carbon, then that would be and the animal gets lost, he's not chayiv b'achrisan, that's a nedava. If he says, I accept upon myself to bring a carbon, and he was planning on bringing animal A, but animal A got lost, well, the mitzvah is on the gavra, it's on himself, and he would still have to bring another animal as a carbon. So says Gemara, halinyan bal ta'achar zev zeshavim. But it seems when it comes to nedarim and nedavos, they're both the same when it comes to the isra of bal ta'achar, of delaying the payment. What is a neder? When a guy says hare alai ola, that it's an ola on me, that it's a din in the gavra. Ezu hi nedava, what's a nedava? Ha'omer hare zu ola, it's a din in the chefza. He says this animal will be an ola. Uma be nedarim le nedavos, what's the difference between the two of them? Nedarim meso enignivu avdu chayiv b'achriyusan. When it comes to nedarim, if the animal dies or gets stolen or gets lost, you have to replace it. Nedavos, when it comes to nedava, meso enignivu avdu, if it dies or gets stolen and gets lost, eino chayiv b'achriyusan, you don't have to replace it. Minani mili, how do we know that to be the case? Tetan rabbanu v'nirtzalo l'chaper alav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Esha Alav, Chayiv Bachriyuso. It's the Chaper Alav, that only if it's a love, if it's on you, if it's on the Gavra, then you're responsible for replacing it. Ve'esha Eino Alav, Eino Chayiv Bachriyuso. But if it's not on you, if it's not on the person, then he doesn't have to replace it. My mashma, where do you see that in the pasuk? Or maybe it's over Avdimi, Kimin Damar Alai, Kimanditar Nakas Vidami. Not where do you see it in the pasuk? How do we know that that's the case just based on the lashon of his neder? Yeah, because once he said Alai, it's as if he's taking it on his shoulders. He's shouldering the burden of this promise. That's what the Alai is accomplishing. Now, if you look in Tosos, Ein Ben Nedel and Dava, Tosos raises the question, Kasha, Amai Lo Tanisha Nedava Ba Min Amayser, Dichsev Zavach Tashlam Gabi Amayser, V'Neder Einu Ba Elam Min Achulin. Why don't we say there's another difference between them? Neder can be brought from Meiser, Nedava rather can be brought from Meiser, and Neder can only be paid from Chulin. So isn't that another difference? How could we say this is the only difference? So tells us two answers. Number one, he says, Min Adin Lo Tanalei Mishum Da'iri Bekar. We're talking about an animal that's already designated as a carbon, and we want to know what's the difference now that it's designated as a carbon. What's the difference whether you made that designation b'lashon neder or b'lashon nedava? In terms of making a designation in the first place, you're right, there's a difference in terms of meiser, but once the designation has already been made, going forward, is there any difference? And that, the only difference is if that animal subsequently dies or gets lost or something like that. Second answer to suggest, inami ditana v'shir, that maybe the Mishnah is not giving an exhaustive list of every single example where you have a difference between neder and nedava. Maybe there are other items missing on the list as well. Those are the two answers of Tosos. Other Rishonim add additional answers. Tosos Maseches Baba Kama Daf Samech Beis Amud Beis says that the din of the Mishnah is mentioned Maseches Kinim in the first Mishnah Maseches Kinim, and that's the primary makom for this din. And it says by Ophos there's no chiluk between neder and nedava with regard to meiser, because that's what Kinim is about, bird karbanos, and by bird karbanos with regard to meiser, it doesn't make a difference. That's why it doesn't make this list. That's why it's not on the list of the Mishnah, because this Mishnah is really Maseches Kinim Mishnah, and in Kinim the context is about birds, because by birds, nedarim and nedavos can only be in an olas ha'ov, you can't bring a chatas as a neder or nedava. Chatas, you either chayiv or you're not. It's only an olas ha'ov that you can bring as a neder or nedava. So ma'aser sheni, you need to buy something that you can eat. And an ola is not eaten, so you're not allowed to use ma'aser money anyway for a neder or nedava when it comes to bird karbanos. The only bird that you could take as a neder or nedava is an ola. You can't eat it, so you can't use ma'aser money for it. So as the Tosfos says, pasha pshat is really the probable answer to this question. That's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Baba Kama. The Paras Yosef just raised the question. There's another chilek. Actually, no, that's from the next Mishnah. So let's one more thing. Just in terms of tzedakah, there's a discussion also. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim in the 8th Perek that tzedakah is bichlal hanedarim, that it's like a neder when a person commits to giving tzedakah. So a guy says, Harei alai selo tzedakah, or Harei selo zut tzedakah, he has to give it to Aniyim right away, and there's a violation of Bal Ta'achir if he delays in giving it. When a person commits to give tzedakah, he has to pay it. It would be a violation of Bal Ta'achir, which is a halacha by karbanos, excuse me, it applies by tzedakah as well. So some of the poskim say that our din and our Mishnah would also apply to tzedakah, depending on whether you said Harei alai sela zul tzedakah, or Harei alai sela tzedakah, or Harei sela zul tzedakah. So that would make a difference. If that money gets lost, you have to replace it. So that may chap nafkamina in terms of tzedakah, dine tzedakah as well. If you designated the money, let's say some people have like an envelope where they keep their meiser money, or an account where they keep their meiser money. What if the bank goes bust or the envelope gets lost? So do you have to replace that money? So if you designated money, this money is already designated as tzedakah money, you probably don't have to replace it. But if you just made a lot of money, so even if you lost some, you probably already have your chiyuv of giving tzedakah, and you'd have to replace those commitments to tzedakah. Okay, so the Gemara. So new Mishnah. Ein bein zav harosh tei ri'os l'roa shalosh ela karban. The only difference between a zav who saw twice versus a zav who saw three times is with regard to the din of the karban. Meaning the halacha is that when it comes to a male who sees ziva, who sees a flow that comes out of his body, we don't have ziva anymore, thankfully, but with regard to a male, if he sees ziva twice, he's already going to be tame for 7 days. By a woman, that's not true. A woman needs to see a flow for 3 consecutive days in order to become a zava gedola. By a man, first of all, there are 2 differences. First of all, it only has to happen twice for him to be tame for 7 days, and second of all, he's mitame beri'ios kibiyamim. It doesn't have to be on consecutive days. It could just be 2 ri'os even in the same day that will already make him tame for 7 days. So what difference does it make if a man saw twice or 3 times? Either way, he's tame for 7 days. So that's what the Mishnah says. Not when he sees 3 times, that's going to make him chayiv in a karban. Tosos, the Paras Yosef, rather, in the back of the Gemara says there's another difference, that a person who sees 3 times is metame on the 3rd time, even if he saw ba'ones. The Gemara Nida, the Mishnayos and Nida talk about ri'ya ziva ba'ones, that a person does something to bring upon himself a ri'ya ziva. So on the 2nd time, it would not make him tame if he like jumped or did some activity that brings about the ziva. But on the 3rd time, it would make him tame. So the Paras Yosef suggests that maybe our Mishnah is not talking about the chalos ha'tuma. It's just talking about once he is tame, how does he behave in that tuma? What does he have to do about that tuma? But in a chinami, there are other differences in terms of the chalos ha'tuma. So they could argue that way. Just to answer the kasha of the Paras Yosef. So anyway, that's the difference between the zav who sees shtei rios versus 3. So it says Maralin, your mishkav Moshe, sfira shiva zevzeh shavin. So, but apparently, when it comes to being metame things that he lies on or that he sits on and counting 7 days, then it's the same for someone who sees twice or 3 times. Minanimili, how do we know that to be the case? Titan Rabban, we have a brayser. Rabbi Simai Omer, mana kosov shtayim v'karu tame, shalosh v'karu tame. The Torah tells us about him seeing twice and it already calls him tame, then it says he sees the 3rd time and still calls him tame. Okay, it's said, Shtayim l'tumah v'shalosh l'karban. It's to tell me that if he sees twice, he's fully tame. By the 3rd time, now he's chayef to bring a karban. But maybe we should dash and know that if he sees twice, he becomes tameh and he doesn't have to bring carbon. If he sees three times, he only has to bring carbon and isn't even tameh. Says Gemara, that's ridiculous, because the only way to see three times is to first see two times. So you can't say that he's not tameh when he sees three times, because he already saw two times, so he already became tameh. So it would be absurd to say that he's not tameh. So the Gemara says, but maybe you can say the following: but maybe it's the reverse. Maybe when he sees two times, he's chayiv a carbon, but he's not yet tamei, and the third time adds the tumah. How do you know that when he sees two times, he already has the tumah? The third time adds the carbon. Maybe when he sees two times, he's chayiv in the carbon, and the third time adds the tumah. So it says Gemara, lo salkadai tanya v'chibra alav akovim lefnei Hashem mizovo miktsas zavin mevi'in carbon umiktsas zavin ein. Carbon. We dash him from the pasuk that some zavim bring a carbon, some zavim don't bring a carbon. Okay, so how does that work out? How is it possible that some zavim bring, some don't? Ra'a shalosh mevi, shtayim enu mevi. If he sees three times, he brings a carbon. If he sees twice, he doesn't bring a carbon. But how do you know? Maybe if he sees two times, he brings a carbon. If he sees three, he doesn't. No, again, that's ridiculous. You can't say that if he brings two, if he sees twice, he's chayiv in a carbon. If he sees three times, he's not chayiv in a carbon. Because in order to see three times, he had to see two times already. So he already became chayiv. We need both Rabbi Simai's idea that the Torah tells us about him seeing twice and being tameh, and seeing three times and being tameh, and we need the word mizovo to teach this din. We need both drashas. Because if we only had Rabbi Simai, we would say, how do you know? Maybe when he sees two times, he's already chayiv a carbon, and the third time is what's first metameh him. So kamashmal mizovo. That's why mizovo tells me no. Not every zov brings a carbon. There are some times that you're a zav and you don't bring a carbon. And if we only had mizavo, I wouldn't know how many times you have to see in order to be chayiv that carbon. I would know that some zavim bring carbon, some zavim don't, but I wouldn't know that two times don't and three times does. Maybe it's one and two, maybe it's three and four. I wouldn't know. So kamash v'land Rabbi Simai. That's why I need Rabbi Simai. V'hashadam mizavo l'drasha. Once we use mizavo, teach us a drasha. V'chiyitar azav mizavo, my drash tabay. So what does v'chiyitar azav mizavo teach me? How me by l'chadetanya? That teaches us a different price. V'chiyitar azav l'chsheyivsok mizavo. Mizovo v'lo mizovo v'nigo. That in order for the zav to go to the mikveh and become tahar, if he also happens to be a mitzora, if he has all the good luck in the world, and he's not only a zav, but he's also a mitzora, he does not have to wait for his tzara'as to clear in order to go to the mikveh. As long as he became tahar from his ziva, he's allowed to go to the mikveh for his ziva, even while he's still in the throes of his tzara'as. Mivzovo v'safar limid al zav bel shtei riyo shaton sfira shiva. So we learn that a zav who sees twice requires counting of 7 days. He needs shiva nekiyim. V'alo dinu imetami mishkov mashav lo yeton sfira shiva. It's logical. If he's metame mishkav v'moshav, of course he's going to require sfira shiva. Meaning, if you're going to say that if he's already metame mishkav v'moshav by seeing twice, so it has the full chumrah of a zav, so of course he's going to be chayiv sfira. Why wouldn't he be chayiv to count seven days? So it says more because there are people like that. There are people that can become tame and be metame mishkav v'moshav and not require sfira shiva nekiyim. Shomeres yom keneged yom tochiach. A woman who sees ziva only once or twice has that same status, where she's shematam mishkav moshav vein etzim sfira shiva. She's matam mishkav moshav, but does not require counting for 7 days. Vafata al tatam al zeh, and you shouldn't wonder about this. Shalf bi shematam mishkav moshav lo yeton sfira shiva. That even though he's matam mishkav moshav, he's not going to require tuma shiva. He's not going to have tuma shiva. Tamalomar mi zova v'safar miktsas zova v'safar limed al zova. That's why I have that Mizovav Safar tells me that if he sees two rios, he already requires Sfira Shiva. Amalei of Papa Labai, Maishna Hai Mizovo de Marbi Bezov Balshterios, Umaishna Hai Mizovo de Memaitba Bezov Balshterios. So essentially, we have the word Mizovo twice. One time it's telling me that we're including the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils from Mizavo, and the other time we're using it to exclude the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils from Zavo. So we should make up our mind, which is it? Does Mizavo tell me to include the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils, or does Mizavo tell me to exclude the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils? Meaning, we darshan l'rabos that even miktsas Zav, that even if he has Shtei Re'ils, that he requires Shiva Nekiyim, and we darshan to be memait the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils from a karbon, from the same word Mizavo. How can the same word Mizavo tell me that the Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils is included in Shiva Nekiyim, but is excluded from a karbon? Make up your mind, is it an inclusion or an exclusion? So Amalei, Isal Kadaitach, Hailim Ute Huda'as, Lishto Kramine. No, because this time when we're including him in Sphira Shiva Nekiyim, it's obviously an inclusion, because if we wanted to exclude him from Sphira Shiva Nekiyim, you wouldn't have to say anything. Just don't say anything about it, and we would know that he's not Chayv in Shiva Nekiyim. We would never have a Havamina that he's Chayv in Shiva Nekiyim. And if you're going to say, we would have had a Havamina. We would have said a Kal V'chomer. He's Metame Mishka V'moshav, so for sure he needs Shiva Nekiyim. No, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach. We already proved that he could be Metame Mishka V'moshav and not require Shiva Nekiyim. Haimi Baile Mizavo V'lo Minigo. I, but don't we already need Mizavo to tell me V'lo Minigo, that not from the Tzaraas, Imkein Lichtov Akra, V'chiyitar Hazav, V'lishtok. All we need to say is V'chiyitar Hazav. Why Mizavo, Lamali? What's Mizavo adding? Limin Hazav Bal Shtei Re'ils, Shetan Sfira Shiva. So it tells us that Hazav Bal Shtei Re'ils requires Shiva Nekiyim. Good, so that is the drasha that tells me that the only difference between a Zav Bal Shtei Re'ils and a Zav Bal Shalosh Re'ils is the carbon, but with regard to Shiva Nekiyim, they are the same. So the next Mishnah is going to talk about some somewhat esoteric din. If you think Ziva is esoteric, a little more esoteric din of Tzaras. Important to know that there are six types of Nigei Adam. There's Nigei Or Basar, Nigei Shchinu Michve, Nigei Nesek, Nigei Karachas V'Gabachas. By each Nega, there's two parts. There's the Nega itself, and there's the Simane Tuma of the Nega. The common theme of all the Negaim is the shear of the Nega. It's a shear of a gris that's squared off, that has enough space for 36 hairs. But the Negaim are somewhat different from each other in terms of their status, in terms of what would make them tamei. So there are different halachos for each of them. A person comes to a kohen and he has a nega tzaras, and the kohen sees in the nega one of the simanei tuma that he's supposed to look for, he'll be mitameim right away. That's called a mitzora muchlat. This is the important part to understand the Mishnah. If he looks at the kohen, looks at him right away and says, yes, that is a definite nega, that's called a mitzora muchlat. But if the kohen sees that the shear of the nega is a little less than a gris, or the levana in the nega is less than a kukrum beitza, he sees that the white is not the proper shade of white, so he's mitarim right away, and that person's not a mitzora at all. But let's say the kohen sees that the shear of the nega is a gris or more, and the whiteness is kikrom beitza or more than that, but it doesn't have any of the simanei atuma that it's supposed to have. Meaning it doesn't have the additional simanei tuma that a real nega would normally have. So then the kohen closes the guy off for 7 days, and that's what's called a mitzora muskar. After the 7 days, then the din is gonna depend. If one of the simanei tuma have appeared during the intervening 7 days, then the kohen is going to declare him definite tameh. He's going to become a mitzora muchlat. If the kohen sees that the nega became smaller than a gris during those 7 days, or that the whiteness is pachos mikrum beitza, so then the kohen is going to be mitayer him, and that's called tohar mitoch hesker. That because he was closed off, now he became tohar. But if the nega stays the same and none of the other simanei tuma appeared, then he's going to go through a second period of hesker of 7 days. So the din of hesker, the second hesker, is going to be the same din as the first hesker, with the only exception that if it stays the same a second time, then he's scot-free, then he's going to be tahar again. So our Mishnah deals with the difference between a mitzora muskar and a mitzora muchlat. Muskar is where he's going to be closed off for 7 days. Muchlat is where he's an absolute mitzora. So ein bein mitzora muskar mitzora muchlat el priya ufrima. The difference between a mitzora muskar and a mitzora muchlat is whether he requires priya ufrima. Mitzora muchlat has to be porea rosh and porim begadav. The Torah says hatzarua asharbo anega begadav yufrumim. He has to shred, tear his clothing and shave his head. Whereas a mitzora muskar does not require priya ufrima. So that's the difference between mitzora muskar. The only difference between someone who became tahar after going through the period of 7 days and someone who became tahar mitoch echleit, that after he was already fully declared tameh, he then went through the tahar process. The only difference is teglachas v'tziparim, that a mitzora that became tahar mitoch echleit has to be megaleach all of his hair and to bring birds for his tahar process, where bird karbanos. Whereas a mitzora that became tahar mitoch hesker does not require teglachas v'tziparim for his Tara. So the Gemara darshins as follows. Halinin shiluach v'tuma zev zashavin. The implication is that when it comes to sending him outside of the machane, and when it comes to being metameh him, they are exactly the same. The mitzora muskar and the mitzora muchlat are the same. So minanimili, how do we know that this is true, that a mitzora muskar needs priya ufrima? This is going back on the halacha in the Mishnah that both muskar and muchlat require priya ufrima. How do we know that to be the case? So says Gemara, two possibilities. Number one, the tanya of Shmuel Britzka kamid Rav Huna, v'tiaro, by Mitzor Muskar it says v'tiaro akoyin misapachas mispachas he v'chibes begadav v'taher. So tahar mipriyo frima d'meikara, that he becomes tahar mipriyo frima d'meikara, meaning he was never chayiv in priyo frima. Amar le Rava elameata gabe zavduchse v'chibes begadav v'taher hasa mai v'taher meikari ika. But what kind of v'taher could it be referring to happening meikara? El tahar hashem l'tamik licharis behesed afal. What we're saying about the Zav is that right now he's not going to be Matame Klicheres when he moves it, even though he later sees more Ziva, we're not going to say Lemafreya, whatever he touched in the interim became Tame. So we're also, maybe that's all it's telling me, that we're not going to be Matame him Lemafreya, Matame the house that he walks into Lemafreya when he didn't yet, it wasn't yet absolute. So Ella Amarav Rav says a second possibility. Again, how do I know a muskar requires priya ufrima? Elam rav mehacha v'atzarua asher bo hanega misha tzarata tuluya begufo yatzazeh shein tzarata tuluya begufo el biyamin. If someone's tzaras is dependent on his physical body, that's when he requires priya ufrima, but not when it's totally biyamin not when it's totally biyamin as opposed to his actual body. Amalei Abaye El Me'ata. So if that's the case, Kali Me'asher Negabo Yitma Misha Tzarata Tliy Begufa Hu Detan Shiluach. So when you talk about Shiluach Min Amachne, it's only when the Tzaras is Tali in his Guf. V'Shein Tzarata Tliy Begufa Ein Tan Shiluach. Then you're going to say that if it's not Tali in his Guf, he doesn't require Shiluach. V'Chitei Machinami. And if you're going to say yeah, in Achinami, V'Adik Tani Ein Be'Mitzor Muskel Mitzor Muklat El Priya Frima Halin Shiluach L'Tumi Be'Bia Zev Zashavin. But we already said with regard to Shiluach, it's the same if you're Mitzor Muskel or Mitzor Muklat. Everyone requires shiluach. So I'm like, you may call you may l'rabos mitzvah muskar l'shiluach. You may call you may teaches us to include a mitzvah muskar for shiluach. That he also has to be that mitzvah muskar has to be sent outside of the machane. So says the Gemara, ihachi. If that's the case, then teglachas v'tziparim, my time alone. Why is a mitzora muskar not chayiv in the teglachas, in the shaving of the hair, and in the bringing of the birds? The katani ein bein tar mitoch eskel tar mitoch echlet ella teglachas v'tziparim. Because after all, it said that that's the difference between someone who becomes tar mitoch esker and someone who becomes tar mitoch echlet. So you see that someone who's tar mitoch esker does not have to bring the birds, does not require the teglachas. So Amar Abaye, answers Amar Kra v'yatza hakoyin el michutz machne v'nei nirpa nega tzaras. The coin goes michutz machne and he sees that the tzaras has become better. So then it tells us, so you bring birds and you do the giluach sa'aro. So it sounds like misha tzarato tuliya berufuos, a mitzora muchlat who needs a refuah for his tzaras, That's where you have teglachas and siparim. Yatzazeh, as opposed to mitzara muskar, shein tzaratu tuli berufuah salabi yamim. Whereas tzaras does not require any refuah, it just needs to go through a period of time where if he doesn't have any simani tuma, he's going to be tar anyway. So such a person is not going to require any teglachas vitziparim. There's an interesting discussion, a lot of discussions actually, where let's leave it at this. The Torah says that Mitzorah that has the Taglachas Rishona and Taras Tziparim, the Yashav Michutz La'alo Shivas Yamim. He has to stay outside of his Oel for 7 days. The Gemara Moed Katan says, Ahalo Zu Ishto. So the Torah is telling us that he's Asur B'tashrin Shamita. So there's Machlokas Tanaim over there in Moed Katan. If that Isser is only B'yimei Sifro, but the Mitzorah Muchlat is Mutter B'tashrin Shamita, or do we say, no, Kal V'chomer, even the Mitzorah is who's waiting, biding his time, waiting to see if he's Tamei, is Asur B'tashrin Shamita. For sure, Mitzorah Muchlat is Asur B'tashrin Shamita. So that's a Machlokas Tanoim over there. One Tana holds that we don't look at the Nega of Mitzorah Muchlat on Yantif, and we do look at a Mitzorah Muskar on Yantif. And the Gemara explains, because Tzavsa Di Ishto Adiflei, which means that a Mitzorah Muskar is not going to be Mitzta'er if you look at his Nega, because if you're going to be Mitaher him, he'll be very happy, and if you're going to be metame him and send him outside of the machna, it's not going to bother him because he's going to be mutter b'tashma shamita now. Now at least his wife will become mutter to him. So you see that shita holds that while he's a muskar, he's also b'tashma shamita, but as soon as he's a mukhlat, as soon as you say you're definitely a mitzora, then tashma shamita becomes mutter to him. Whereas mitzora mukhlat, it's going to be a tsar if the kohen is going to be mitar him, because during the days of the sfira, he's also b'tashma shamita. So he may not want the Tara on Yantif, so you wouldn't be allowed to look at him on Yantif. So Tosav there asks on Rashi from our Mishnah. It sounds from our Mishnah that Ein Bein Mitzora Muskar, except for what we mentioned. So it sounds like Tashma Shamita is not one of the Nafkaminas. But according to Rashi, if you Asur Mitzora Mukhla Pitash Shamita, so you have to, I mean, according to our Mishnah, if you Asur Mitzora Mukhla Pitash Shamita, Mitzora Muskar also is Asur Pitash Shamita. And if you matter one, you have to be matter the other one, because they're both the same. So the Tosus writes, from the fact that the Gemara does not say, Holy Indian Tashma Shamita Zevzeh Shavin, because Tashma Shamita is Tali in a Machlokas. So our Mishnah and our Gemara, our entire Sugi is just sort of trying to stay away from that machlokas. That's why it doesn't get any mention in the machlokas. It's also a discussion in Tosfos Moed Katan whether the din of tame yikra applies to mitzora muskar. Mitzora muchlat has a din that tame yikra, he has to call out to everybody and declare himself tame. Not so clear whether that applies to a muskar. It would sound from our Mishnah that it should, because whatever applies to a muchlat would apply to a muskar. But anyway, so those are the some of the discussions that are had. Atifas Arosh is another halacha that they debate whether it applies also to a muskar. Okay, Baruch Hashem, next time we'll pick up with the Mishnah about a less esoteric topic, tefillin and mezuzos, things like that.